Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I hope that you have followed through with your homework. I gave a little bit of homework last week, and we're about to find out who was good students in school and who was bad students in school. Did you remember to do your homework? Now, Pastor Lauren has an excuse because he wasn't here last week, okay? So he's exempt from this, but hopefully you followed through with your homework. I encouraged you to find some time this week to read through the book of Titus. It's just three very short chapters. Whether you did it in one setting, whether you did it over the course of the week, maybe you did it in one day, maybe you took all week to do it, but I hope that you took time to read that, because it's so important that we fill ourselves with the Word of God, and that you realize that the Word of God, it washes us, it cleanses us. In fact, we took time back in December to talk about the gift of the Word in Jesus Christ and what that is to our life. But I hope that as you follow through with it, and that you read this incredible book, and that as you read it, I hope the Holy Spirit was speaking to you and revealing things and highlighting to you and showing you in your life how you can apply it. But I noticed as you read this, it's a masterpiece of a book, this book of Titus. And you can go ahead and turn there with me, and we'll stand for the reading of the Word in a minute, but go ahead and take this time to turn there, the book of Titus. As you read this letter, it's quite obvious that Paul, as a spiritual father, is instructing his spiritual son, Timothy, in how to lead the church and how to set things in order. He says, Titus, for this reason, I left you in Crete so that you could set in order. And so he's given him direction and oversight and spiritual guidance, providing healthy leadership and direction for the church that's in Crete. And it's important to note this. Crete was not the easiest place to be a Christian in those days, okay? All scholars agree that Crete was actually a place that it was a mecca. It was a large business center, and they had high hopes and low morals, okay? They were shooting to be the best that they could be. They wanted to grow and progress. They were very progressive thinkers. They were trying to make all the money they could, but Cretans were noted around the world as being people with extremely low morals. And so Paul addresses this fact in his first chapter to Titus in this letter, and he quotes a Greek prophet of their own, or a poet, excuse me, a Greek poet, and he says, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and gluttons. They sound like Americans to me. Cretans, and so this is why I know that this book is extremely applicable to our lives, because I could say Americans are always liars, evil beasts, and gluttons. Really, that's just human ways. That's just having a sin nature. That's human nature. But Paul says that after he quotes this poet, he says, this testimony, Titus, is true. They are liars. They are evil beasts. They are gluttons. So you know what you should do, Titus? You should rebuke them sharply. But he also, as you read the entirety of the book, you realize he doesn't just want Titus to rebuke them. He wants him to encourage them. To encourage them in good works, to pattern good works before them, to live a life that exemplifies what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be godly, what it means to be Christ-like. And so God has spoken to me, and I shared this last week, I want to share it again. God has spoken to me that we will change this community. The scripture that Pastor Madison read a few moments ago from 2 Samuel chapter 5, where David took the city, we are going to take this city for the kingdom of God. How are we going to do it? With good works. Okay, I believe that as we pattern good works, as we are people that are zealous for good works, as we're ready for good works, as we maintain good works, I believe that we're going to take this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I know that? I know that, one, because God has spoken it to me, but I'll also show it to you in Scripture. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What's Jesus telling us in that moment? He's saying, I want you to live lives that are so full of good works that you're letting your light shine, that every time somebody sees you, they don't just see you, but they see God inside of you, and it brings glory to him. So that when you go to the grocery store, they don't just see you buying your buggy of groceries. They see you being filled with good works. And as they see you filled with good works, that then it strikes a hunger and a desire inside of them. I got to know what's inside of you. Why? Because what's inside of you isn't currently inside of me. And I want whatever it is that you have so that it brings glory to God. So I believe that as we are obedient to walk in good works, that may I remind you, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God has prepared for us beforehand. Okay? God has already ordered and prepared good works for your life. As we do that, the walk in the works he's prepared for us, we're going to shine like a beacon of hope in this community. You, not just this church, because do you know what this church is? This church is made up of many members, okay? That's what makes a church, is somebody that's a part of the body of Christ. So not just the Wellfort Payne when we meet together on Sundays, when we get to get together on Wednesday nights. No, you individually in your job, in your neighborhood, in the store, in your community, as you walk out the good works that God has prepared, people are going to see that. It's going to be a beacon of hope, and they're going to glorify God. I believe that Fort Payne and the surrounding communities are going to be transformed because of your faithfulness. And because of God's grace being shown through your life. And we can't change them. You have to understand that. We can't change people. But we can point them to the only one that can truly change them. And we do that through good works. Okay? So last week, we discussed how in chapter 1, Paul says that there are people that they believe in God, but their works don't line up with their words. And he said such people are abominable. That means they're detestable. He says such people are disobedient. That word disobedient in the Greek means unwilling to be persuaded. And he says they are disqualified for every good work. Who? The people that say they believe in God, but they don't walk it out. It's like Pastor Madison was quoting earlier, the book of James, that without works, your faith is dead. Okay? We should be people of good works. So we also talked about where Paul talked to Titus, and he said, Titus, in chapter 1, verse 7, he said, pattern yourself or model yourself before the young men and everybody in the church to show yourself as a pattern, something worth following for good works. And then he goes on at the end of chapter 2, he says, I want our people to be zealous for good works. That word zealous means fervent, boiling over, passionate, excited. Let us be people that we're excited. I get to show forth the good works and glorify God in my life today. Amen. So that's a little bit of a recap. So that gave you time to get to Titus, right? Everybody make it to Titus so far. If you aren't there yet, that's all right. The window of grace has closed. Stand to your feet. Titus chapter 3. God hasn't run out of grace. I just have for you. I'm just kidding. That's a joke, all right? Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And then we're going to read verse 14. And then we're going to, I say conclude. We may not conclude. God may have us on this again next week. But I want to read Titus 3, 1 through 8. Remind them, he says, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready. Everybody say ready for every good work. Be ready for every good work. That goes back to when he said, pattern yourself, show yourself a consistent model for good works. Verse 2 says, to speak evil of no one. Man, that's convicting every time I read that. To speak evil of no one. He doesn't give us an out of like, well, if they're evil, you can speak evil of. No, he says, speak evil of no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared toward men, not by works. I want to point this out. Not by works. I am not preaching to you last week, this week, or ever that anything that you do can get you into heaven. Okay? We are only saved by grace through faith. We'll talk about that more later. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, which he saved us through the washing and regeneration. I love that word regeneration. It means spiritual renovation. Anybody like to watch home renovation shows, right? And like to watch them, well, I'm going to take out this wall and we're going to put this in here and I'm going to do this, right? And you just get all fired up. Well, realize that God wants to do that inside of you. He wants to bring spiritual renovation in your life. And renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This, Titus, is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Why? He says, because these things are good and profitable to men. He reminds them again in verse 14 to maintain good works. Let's read that and then we'll pray. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this wonderful body of Jesus Christ that is gathered together today to grow, to fellowship, to love, to encourage, and to praise and honor you, and to hear your word be taught and preached. And I pray that you would anoint me to do exactly that today. We give you this time. We invite your presence. God, we believe that your presence is not just for praise and worship, but your presence is for us to walk in every single moment of every single day. So as we hear the word of God, instruct us and teach us in your presence today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today in the presence of the Lord. So we just read Titus chapter 3, and in verse 1, Paul says that those who believe in the Lord and serve him should be ready for every good work. Let's talk. That's what I want to start off with talking about today, is being ready for every good work. Because like I said earlier, he talks about not being disqualified, patterning yourself, being zealous for, but it's another thing to be ready, because I've noticed that there are some things that I've gotten excited for, but I wasn't ready for. You ever been there before? You were so excited, but in your excitement, you forgot to prepare. You forgot to get ready. You forgot to make sure that you had everything that you needed. I'll give you an example of this. I'm really bad to be at home on the weekend or on a weeknight or on a weekend night or anytime really, and get a hankering for something sweet. Anybody like that in here? I'll be sitting there. I'll see something on TV. A thought will come to my mind. I'll just get a hankering and a craving. And I get zealous. You can ask my wife. I am zealous for desserts. I'm zealous for sweets. I'm zealous for anything that has the legal drug of sugar in it. Okay. So I've been trying to deny myself. In fact, that's one thing that I'm trying to go without during this 100 days of glory, is desserts and sweets. But before January 1, 2022, I was very bad, and I would try to do good and then I would not do good, but I would just get zealous and I would be like, I have to have some of that, right? And so I would go to the kitchen and I would begin to make something. It would be different every time. I would try to make homemade ice cream. I'd make cheesecake. I'd make cake. I'd make cookies. I'd make anything that you could possibly imagine. But sometimes I would be zealous for a certain thing, but I wasn't prepared for that thing, meaning I didn't have all the ingredients that I needed to make what it was that I wanted. And sometimes we can find ourselves where we're zealous. I want to do good works. I want to do good works, but we're not ready for good works. And here's what gets you ready for good works. One thing that gets you ready for good works is discipleship. And I've seen a lot of people, because in the Bible, it talks about people that have zeal, but no knowledge, okay? And I want to warn you, don't be a person that, because we're talking about this last week and this week, I'm zealous for good works. I want to do good works. I want to do good works. But you don't get ready for good works. How do you get ready for good works? You get ready for good works through reading the Word of God. You get ready for good works by prayer, by study, by spending time with God. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, I want to give you the definition of the word ready. Because what is Paul saying when he says, Titus, remind God's people to be ready for every good work? Here's what it means. It's the Greek word Hetoimos. I'm probably butchering that, but I'm from Alabama, so I don't speak Greek. But it means this. I do know what it means. It means ready because you are prepared. You're ready because you have prepared. It means this. They would use this word in their speech to say you're standing by, okay? Once you get prepared, I'm sure Pastor Lauren probably would know about this, you're on standby. Meaning, I've accomplished all my training. I've checked every list of everything that I need to do. I have everything in order, but now I'm standing by so that whenever my authority says it's time to go, I'm ready to go. That's what this word is saying, is that Titus, equip the people of God. Remind them and tell them that they are ready for every good work, so that every time God says, go and accomplish this good work that I've prepared, you're standing by and you're ready. You're not looking for this. You're not looking for that. You're not wondering, what should I say? What should I do? You are ready and you are prepared. This ties in so beautifully, it's amazing, to what we talked about the 2 weeks before last week, which was preparing ourselves for the presence of God, being prepared, because you can't be ready unless you have prepared. You can't be ready. So ready yourself each and every morning. Do you know how you do it? I want to give you a very practical way to ready yourself for every good work. You ready yourself by reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God. That's why it's so important as a believer to start your morning in the Word of God. Read the Word. Hear the word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So don't just read it. Read it out loud so that you can hear it. Don't just read it and be done with it. Meditate on it throughout the day and allow it to have rule and have reign in your life. Like Paul told the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching you and admonishing you, giving you the opportunity to become better. So we ready ourselves by seeking his face, okay? So not just reading, because there's a lot of people I've noticed and come to find in life that they read the Word of God, but they don't seek God. Reading the Word is just, it's something that they do every single day. Why? Because I'm a Christian. So in your reading, make sure that you're seeking for him in your reading. Make sure that you are going after him. You study by filling yourself with the Word of God. You commune with him through prayer. All of these things that are our devotion time in our life, right? That we say, I'm going to build a tabernacle, like we talked about a few weeks ago, a place of meeting where, God, I want to meet with you in the morning. Whether that is when you're going about your morning duties, whether you can commune with him in the shower, you can have a place where you find yourself in the morning where you sit down, you read your word and you pray. You can do it over a bowl of cereal or with a cup of coffee. I'm telling you, there's no better combination on planet Earth than a cup of coffee and the word of God. There's not. I'm sorry. You can argue with me till you're blue in the face. Chips and salsa are a close second, okay? But the word of God trumps the chips and salsa. The best combo is a cup of coffee and the word of God. You just can't go wrong with that, okay? But what you're doing, you're not just fulfilling a religious obligation and duty. Do you know what you're doing? You're preparing yourself. You can ask, Pastor Lauren was in the military for over 30 years, is that correct? In the Navy. If you don't prepare, you aren't ready. And preparation is just as important as the assignment. Why? Because if when you get to the assignment, you aren't prepared, you've already failed the assignment. You already aren't ready. And so realize, I'm not just reading the Word of God. I'm preparing myself. I'm readying myself so that when he calls on me this afternoon, I'm ready to go. So that when he needs me to speak life into my coworker, I'm ready to speak life. Why? Because I filled myself with the word of life that is true, that is pure, that is holy, that's washed me and regenerated me. And there's power inside of it to transform my life. So there's power in it to transform their life. But I can't quote it to them. I can't speak it to them. I can't be who I'm called to be if I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. So we ready ourselves through the word of God. We ready ourselves through prayer, communing with him, fellowshipping with him. We do it through worshiping from our heart. We do it by rejoicing. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. And again, I will say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I rejoice that I'm living in the kingdom of God. So I want you to know, when you make time to seek God in the morning, you aren't wasting your time. You are using your time as wisely as you could possibly use it. When you seek him in the end, listen, I'm not one of those people that's like, if you don't seek God in the morning, then you won't find him that day. That's not what I'm saying. You can seek God at lunch. You can seek God in the afternoon. You can seek God in the evening. You can seek God in the middle of the night, in the darkest time that you've ever been in your life. But what I'm telling you to do is I'm reminding you and telling you, be a person who prepares and makes yourself ready. How do you make yourself ready? The word of God, prayer, praise, worship, waiting on God, devotion, meditating on the word of God. You aren't just being religious. Some people think, well, I'm a good Christian. Why? Because I read my Bible and I pray. No, you are preparing yourself. You're readying yourself. You are making yourself ready so that no matter what comes your way, you're ready to walk in the good works that God has prepared beforehand. I love these quotes right here. Benjamin Franklin said, when you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail. It's true in school. It's true at work. It's true in your marriage. It's true in parenting. It's true in Christianity. When we fail to prepare, we are preparing to fail. Let's be people that wake up and go, God, prepare me for good works today. I know you've already prepared them beforehand, but let's see, sometimes we think because the good works are prepared that that's all that needs. No, we need to be prepared for the good works that he's already prepared. That's why Paul said, tell them to be ready for every good work. John Wooden, the great basketball coach at UCLA, said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. What happens a lot of times is we begin walking through our life and a good work presents itself, but we never prepared, so we're not ready. It's too late at that point to prepare. You've already failed. So I know that I'm looking at a group of really good Christians that are very faithful to seek God, read the Bible, read the Word. You know how important daily disciplines are. You know how important it is to seek Him first. But that's why Paul said in verse 1, what did he say? Chapter 3, verse 1. My page turned. Here we go. Remind them. Yeah. You aren't reminded of what you don't know. You're reminded of what you do know. I understand. You know, because I can feel it. We get so spiritual. We're like, I know I need to read my Bible. Why is he just talking about reading my Bible? Because Paul said, remind them. It is my job as your pastor to remind you of the things. That's what we're doing on Wednesday nights. I would encourage you to come to Scottsboro this Wednesday night if you can for our Wednesday night service at 6:30 p.m. Back to the basics. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what matters most, because if we lose sight of what matters most, then nothing will matter at all. And so it's important that we are reminded. You're not reminded of what you are, of what you don't know, but of what you do know, okay? So I'm simply reminding you. That's why Paul would repeat almost again in verse 8, and he would say, these things, Titus, I want you to affirm constantly, over and over and over again. Paul told another spiritual son in 1 Timothy, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, okay? So what he's saying is the same word, be ready. He's saying, prepare yourself. Stand by. Make sure that you have done your preparation. You've done your due diligence to make sure that you are ready when God calls you so that you can be instant in season and out of season. Don't be that person that's like, this is just not my season because you didn't prepare. Be somebody that would say, you know what? I'm ready. It may not be in season, but I'm going to be somebody that's instant in season and out of season. I'm going to be ready because I have sought the Lord. So I know that you know that you should be people of good works. I know that you understand the importance of seeking God, daily prayer, reading, but it's my responsibility, just like Paul reminding Titus, to remind you to keep these things continually before you, because I want you to be ready. What I mean by that is I don't want you to miss one opportunity that God has prepared for you to walk in good works. I want you to be ready. So we fail to prepare when we fail to see the importance of our duties, because I begin to think, well, we know that we should do all these things. And we know that there's benefit in daily Bible reading. We know there's benefit in prayer. We know there's benefit in seeking God. And we know there's benefit in praise and worship. So what on earth would keep us from doing it? And it's because we fail to see the importance of our commission by Jesus on the earth. Here's what I mean by that. Remember what Jesus said? He said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So why is he telling us to let our light shine? Why is he telling us to walk in good works? So that's where the key lies. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works. Who's they? People that are unsaved, people that are lost, people that haven't come to know him yet, so that they can see your good works, the world, the lost, and glorify our Father in heaven. What is more important than a lost person being found? Nothing. What is more important than someone who is on their way to hell getting saved and being on their way to heaven? Nothing. Nothing at all. No amount of money, no amount of success. Nothing is more important than our commission when he said, go into all the world and make disciples. Nothing is more important than seeing people that are lost get saved. So he said, how do we do that? We let our light shine, which is Jesus being inside of us, and we let them see our good works. And I urge you, church, be ready for every good work. Why? Because every good work that he has prepared for you is an opportunity for someone that doesn't know him to see him and to know him. So how do we prepare ourselves? How do we ready ourselves? Okay, we've talked already a little bit about that through reading of the word, but it's not just the daily disciplines, because if it were, we would get chained to what we call legalism, that, okay, I read my Bible, okay, I prayed, okay, I worshiped, okay, I did all this stuff. It's not just about what you do. It's also by pairing yourself with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Galatians, Paul would talk multiple times about walking in the Spirit. In the book of Romans, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So another way that you are prepared for every good work is by pairing yourself with the Holy Spirit, right? Prepared would be the word P-A-R-E-D. It's, when you go to spell stuff in front of people, I just get super nervous, okay? But I want to talk about P-R-E-P-A-I-R-E-D. Okay, I'm telling you, my mind is just doing somersaults right now. Did I just spell this word wrong? Being prepared with the Holy Spirit. When you're spending time with God, you are pairing yourself with him. You're coming into alignment with his word. You are getting connected with him. It's not that while you're sleeping that you get disconnected from him, he leaves you, but it's that you're saying, God, I want you to prepare me, and I want to make sure that I walk with you. I'm led by you throughout the day. So we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us so that we don't miss the good works that God has prepared for us. I just wonder how many, because remember it says in Ephesians, the good works that God has prepared for us beforehand. How many of those have I missed because I was walking in the flesh instead of according to the Spirit? How many people haven't gotten to see the goodness of God because I wasn't looking for the good works that God prepared? Because I wasn't living according to the Spirit, but I was living according to my flesh. So he says, I want you to be ready for good works. I encourage you and urge you and remind you today, prepare yourself for good works. Not just prepare yourself, but allow him to prepare you for good works. Now, the next mention of the word works is in verse 5. Let's read verse 5 again. Because verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration. I know that we're spending a lot of time talking about works and how important they are and how we're saved for good works, but it's important that I want to reemphasize, because Paul reemphasized, you are not saved by good works. It doesn't make God love you anymore when you do good works that he's prepared for you to walk in. It's that works will never make God love you more or love you less. We walk in good works because he loves us, not for his love, okay? I want you to get this. Some people think, well, I gotta do good. Why? So God will love me. No, I do good because God loves me, not so God will love me, because he already loves me so much. There's no more that he could possibly love you. So because you have that knowledge and that understanding, I've been saved, I want to walk in good works. Why? Because I know how much he loves me. And Paul saw fit to make it very clear while writing a book that really revolved mainly around the topic of good works. He made sure as he was wrapping this thing up and closing up this letter that he was going to write to Titus, he says, listen, I want you to know, Titus. I want your people to know. I want everyone to know. We are saved for good works, but you weren't saved by works. You were saved for works, okay? We were saved, it says, according to his mercy, he saved us. What is mercy? Let's define mercy for a moment. Mercy is God withholding the punishment that we deserve, okay? Now, there's a difference between grace and mercy, and some people don't know what it is. Grace is defined in the Greek as unmerited favor, meaning God gives you what you don't deserve. So grace is God giving you what you don't deserve, like forgiveness, freedom, blessing, promotion. But mercy is God holding back what you do deserve. So we need both grace and mercy to be at work in our life, because we need God to give us what we don't deserve, but we also need him to hold back what we do deserve. So he's saved us by his mercy, because we all deserve a sinner's hell. But he chose, because of mercy, to not send us to hell, to not give us the punishment that we deserve, but to hold back and allow us to be free and to be saved. Amen. So he says, this is a faithful saying, and I want you to affirm these things constantly. Paul wants Titus to be intentional to remind Christians in Crete that we all used to be lost. We all used to be slaves to the ways of the world, but we've been saved. We've been regenerated, not by good works, but for good works. And then he says in verse 8. This is a faithful saying. These things These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. All right, we're going to talk about maintaining good works, because we have been warned to not disqualify ourselves from good works in chapter 1. We've been told to pattern ourselves for good works and to be zealous for good works. We've been told to prepare or to make ourselves ready for good works. Now the apostle is saying, I want you to maintain good works, okay? So it's this progression of everything that he's telling us, and he says, I want you to maintain. That word maintain means to practice diligently or to continue in. So he's saying, don't just let good works be something you get excited about and then fizzle out and you don't follow through with them anymore. Let this be a habitual part of your life. Don't just live this way once a week, once a month, once a year, for a few weeks out of the year, but maintain that. Here's what I want to say to you. Be a habitual do-gooder, okay? Why? Because he says these things are profitable to men. Read this in verse 8. He says, these things are good and are profitable to men. This is why he's saying, I want you to be careful to maintain good works. Why? Because good works are good and profitable for people. And if you don't walk in them, there won't be good and there won't be profit in people's life. So when we fail to walk in good works, we are withholding good and profit from people's life. But when we walk in the good works that God has prepared for us, we are releasing good and profit into our life and into the lives of people around you. I think about it like this. The world would be a better place if the church would be who the church is supposed to be. Because he said, he's saying, I want you to be people that are zealous for good works, ready for good works. Why? Because it's good and it's profitable for everybody. We love to look at the world and point the finger at the world, but what we should realize is any problem in the world, God has given the answer to the church, through the church, by the church, for the church to do. And so the problem, yes, is in the world, but the answer is in the church. So really, if there's a lack of an answer, there's a problem in the church. You ever look around and go, why isn't it just, it seems like it's bad everywhere. It's evil everywhere. It's because we have not followed through in good works the way that the Word of God has instructed us to. Because if we had, there would be good and there would be profit. It's good and it's profitable for men. So now you may ask, what are good works? You've talked about so much. We covered this last week, but for those of you that forgot or weren't here, I'll say it again. According to the definition, good works is simply beneficial deeds. Anything that brings benefit into somebody else's life. It can be through your words. It can be through your finances. It can be through your time. It can be through your energy. It can be through teaching someone, helping someone. Anything that you do that is beneficial to someone else's life, and God has already prepared these for you to walk in. So now, how do we do this? How do we walk in these good works? How do we maintain these good works? How do we be zealous for them? How do we prepare ourselves? Well, we start by saying, okay, I'm going to continue to prepare for good works. But yes, that is good. We've talked about that. But there's something else that I learned in Scripture that we need to do in order to maintain and be careful to do good works. It's that we need help from each other. Okay? I can't just do this on my own and decide I'm going to be somebody who does good works. I need you and you need me. Okay? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and we'll begin to wrap up this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read verses 24 and 25. I'm sorry. Let's start in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And listen to this, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more so as you see the day approaching. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that one of the reasons that we assemble together as the church on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, when we gather together on a regular basis as the bride and the body of Jesus Christ is one, to encourage one another, but also to stir one another up to good works. That's why fellowship that we're talking about is so important. That as I fellowship with you, you fellowship with me, we fellowship with each other. We should be stirring one another up and provoking in one another a desire to do good works. That's why it says, let us consider one another that we may stir one another up to do good works. What is the writer saying when he says that? He's saying, I want you to spend intentional time thinking, how can I make them walk in the good works that God has for them? What can I do? What can I say? Who can I be? How can I, and literally the word stir up means to provoke. It means to stimulate. How do I provoke and stimulate good works in somebody else's life? And he says, I want you to consider this. That word consider means to think on. I want you to literally take time this week. This is, last week your homework was to read Titus. This week your homework is this. Take time and think, how can I make somebody else want to do good works? How can I provoke inside of them a desire to be who God has called them to be and do what God has called them to do? Peyton got a word. How can I provoke Peyton to walk in that word, right? So-and-so is prepared. They're going, I know they've got this coming up. What can I do to help prepare them and make them ready? Because I want to be ready for good works, but I also want to stir it up inside of somebody else. How can I prepare them for good works? So ponder on it. Meditate on it. What can I say to encourage them to be obedient to good works? How can I influence somebody in good works? How can I help someone in good works? How can I provoke good works in them? Could I send them a text message? Could I call them? Could I meet with them for coffee? Could I post something on Facebook? What can I do to provoke in other believers the desire to walk in the good works that God has for them? That's what it says. He says, don't forsake assembling together. Why? Because when you come together, everybody's encouraged and everybody's provoked to continue in good works so that the world can see and glorify God who is in heaven. So what I want to say to you today regarding good works is we need each other. We need to stir one another up, encourage one another, speak into one another's lives. That's why it says, do not forsake assembling together. We come here in this place every single Sunday morning. Why? Because we believe that when we come here, things happen that can't happen when we stay home. I'm not saying God isn't real at home, but there is something special about when the body of Christ comes together and the word of God commands, do not forsake the assembling as some have done. So it's saying, look, some people have given up on church. Some people have given up, but don't do it. All the more as the day approaches, come together, exhort one another, encourage one another, stir up love and stir up good works inside of one another. I want to encourage you to do that this week. Take some time, think, ponder, meditate, wonder, how can I stir up good works? Be creative. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you an idea that you've never had before that would provoke or stimulate good works in somebody else's life. Why? Because God has told us this community is going to be changed through our good works being seen and people glorifying our Father in heaven. Stand to your feet with me today. Father, I thank you that you have prepared good works for us to walk in. And now I pray that we would be people that would make ourselves ready, that we would stand at attention, awaiting your orders, awaiting your marching commands to show us what we should do, who we should talk to, who we should join ourselves to and come alongside to bring benefit and goodness and profit in their life, God. So I just ask that you would help us to be people that prepare our hearts every single day. But God, I also ask that you would help us to maintain good works, to practice them. God, let it not just be tomorrow. Let it not just be this week. But God, let us be people that are careful to maintain good works. Why? Because we believe that when we do that, people are going to see you inside of us, not so they can glorify us and praise us, but so that they can come to know the King of the universe, the one that loves them more than we could ever love them or anyone could ever love them. And God, I pray that you would give us creative ideas and ways to stir good works up in one another, to benefit other people, to help others to grow and to come closer and closer and closer and closer to you and to know you and to find you, God. We want to see this city come to know Jesus. We want to see the people of this community have their lives transformed by the power that's in God. It may seem like foolishness to people that are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Let us reveal the power of God in other people's lives through good works, God. That as we offer to take someone's buggy back to the corral at the grocery store, as we offer to buy someone's meal, as we offer to help a neighbor move, God, whatever it may be that you lead and guide us in, I pray that it would be the power of God to people to see you for who you are, God. We want to walk in the good works, and we want to stir them up in one another. God, give us the ideas of how to fellowship with one another, how to provoke one another to good works. God, we love you, And we want to be a community. We want to be a fellowship of believers. We want to be a culture of good works, God. We want to be a place where your glory dwells, where you are blessed and honored and magnified. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May you walk in every good work that he's prepared for you. And don't forget to find a way to fellowship with someone outside of Sunday morning this week. We love you. God bless.